bursting through again here. And he makes it two. He drove at the heart of that Norwich defence. And he gets his reward. Two for Bale and two for Tottenham.
My word, what a talent this young man is. Such pace and power.
General play. He's just, you know, he can spray the ball. He can run with it. He can pass it. He can do everything, this lad, and you know, he's just going to go on and continue to be a top player for Tottenham.
Good night, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of the FPL Vibes podcast, brought to you by SoccerWarriors.net. So, as usual tonight, both joined in the studio by 2 cents. What about 2 cents?
Hey, cool man. Good night to you. Good night to everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yes, and Merry Christmas. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and all the best for the new year coming up. So in that spirit, you know, we're getting together to do a quick podcast, to do a mid-season review. I mean, this is the first season of the podcast. And just looking back at some of the highlights, some of the performers, some of the people who didn't perform that much, and as normal, look ahead to the upcoming game weeks. So, 2 cents just to start. I mean, halfway through the season, how are you feeling so far about the performance in the FPL?
Kind of disappointed in my performance and my results. Real disappointing. Things didn't work out with us. Couple transfers, you know how it is go. Also, I have some disappointment in terms of the real season, in terms of my team getting that 6-1 from Man City.
You know, that's recover since, man.
Yeah, but that's definitely the low light. I mean, the highlight would be the 8-2 on Arsenal. Other highlights of the season, I guess, would be the Arsenal-Chelsea game.
Yeah, that was the low light for me. And,
yeah.
You know, I think, you know, we kind of blowing hot and cold for the first half of the season. You know, we didn't really... I mean, we went on a little run, then we kind of cool off a little bit. And right now, you know, it seems like we're out of running. I mean, anything could happen, but in terms of the title... You know, City about 11 points ahead or something, and just not looking like they want to give up a lot, so it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I mean, they're 5 goals ahead of us now, I believe. So, I mean, I'm really happy in terms of that because, man, you haven't really played too well this season so far, and to be, you know, tied on points just behind on goal difference, I mean, I'm happy about that. A lot of players haven't really hit their peak yet. You know, Rooney started off the season hot, then he blew cold. Nani been hot and cold. I mean, Chicharito been in and out with injuries. So I feel good from a Man U perspective. From a fantasy perspective, I think I like right now 41st in the Andre Samuel League, and my goal was always the top 10. So as I have less and less weeks in which to accomplish that, it becomes a little harder, but that's still the goal for right now, top 10.
True. Well, what I could say about this year, and I don't know if it's something you notice, is that it very... the game week's playing very tight. Like, a lot of people are the same players. And, you know, when these scores come out every week, nobody really making big, big jumps. So, like, you know, a man make 30 more than you or 20 more than you. So it's kind of difficult to make moves in that respect. But I think, you know, as things, you know, the season move along and other things come into play, we'll see, like, them big game weeks and we'll see people going in different directions and it might be easier to make moves. You know, for me, I think I just had one bold move and then a couple consistent weeks, and I went from like 50th to about, I think I'm like 18th right now. And my goal was top 30 by Christmas. So if I 18th, I think I alright and just kind of pushing.
You're doing well. I mean, a lot of people are at the top doing well. I think we need to probably get a few of those guys up there on the show and really hear how they do what they do. I mean, in terms of the season, I would say the seasons where I do my best is when there's not one obvious captain. In terms of, I used to always say it back in the day when Henry was everybody captain every week. I used to hate that. And then, you know, after that, I used to hate when everybody captain was Cristiano Ronaldo this every week. You know, it's the years where I don't have that obvious guy, because this year, everybody captain is Van Persie, you know.
Yeah.
The years where I don't have an obvious guy, I usually do a little better, but I'm not making any excuses. I still think I could make that top 10 with just had a 22 turbo boost. I still have the 2 wild cards. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, Van Persie had a cool long at some point. You know, he can't. The fact is, he can't hold that straight through to the end of the season, and that's saying that he stayed fit. Just looking at the Andre Samuel league table, at the mid-season point, the person in first place is some guy named Andre Rodriguez with Zoffa FC. And then looking on the table, we have a Kyle Thomas, Denzel Tobas. That's a man who always kind of in and around. My boy Trini Kev from the forum, Kevin Casimir, doing real good this season too. And then if you're looking at down at some of the names, JDB, Gil Warrior, Touches, Best Brand, well, I'm kind of in and around the top 20.
Yeah, I hear a lot of familiar names who usually are the top there.
So, yeah, I mean, in terms of the actual season, who are some of the, just looking back on the top performers, we just want to go position by position, some of the people who did well and some of the teams that did well and surprised us. So, starting with the goalkeepers, who for you was like one of the standout goalkeepers for the season?
I would have to definitely say Brad Friedel, because I think the guy's like 40 years old and
he's 40.
Yeah, he's still putting in these performances. I mean, last year, you know, when Spurs had Gomes, and I mean, he had a couple of goals scored on him where it was basically his fault. Harry Redknapp just used to hold his head in his hand, you know. Gomes just used to stupefy the guy. I mean, to bring in a guy who is 40 really says a lot about Gomes, and it also says a lot about Friedel. I guess he had to be, I don't know much about Brad Friedel, but he definitely have to be like a great professional to have himself in that top shape at age 40. He's still pulling off some master saves. I mean, Spurs is a defense that, you know, they're not really known for keeping clean sheets and stuff. I think they have like 6 so far, but it's still at the front and the back there. You know, that's just give defenders a great confidence. So now you have a goalkeeper behind you who you feel safe with. And yeah, obviously they didn't feel safe with Gomes in the back. So I think Brad Friedel has been a big, big performer this year. I mean, maybe doesn't have as much clean sheets as other people, but I rate him. I mean, he's always pull off the big save. He's just a boss. And at age 40, I mean, wow.
I totally agree with you with that. I mean, well, goalkeeper is my position, my favorite position. But I think, you know, even though I'm a Chelsea fan, I kind of was looking at Arsenal last season, and I think that's the one position that cost them, because that Carling Cup loss for them was big. And I always tell people, when they had the young keeper, I mean, he come good now, but at that point last season, you know, an experienced keeper wouldn't make certain mistakes. It just wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? And an experienced keeper giving you an extra 10 points a season, as I always tell people that, you know? But Friedel definitely, you know, definitely making a big difference in that Tottenham back line. My keeper this season so far is Vorm from Swansea. I mean, I didn't know anything about him before he came up, and he been weak. I think I saw a stat where there's only 2 teams scoring him at home this season. I mean, he been coming up big for Swansea in games, making some real spectacular saves and just keeping it locked down, you know. That's whole Swansea defense as a whole, to be honest, but I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know anything about Vorm before this season, but I saw their first game against Man City. And I mean, they lose 4-0, but he saved them from losing 12-0, as far as I'm concerned. So immediately I was like, wow, this guy is real good. Because from the first game, he pulled off some magical saves, you know what I'm saying? He had men like Aguero and them scratching their head, even though he allowed 4. So from the first game, he showed what he was about. That's a great signing. I think £1.5 million, I mean.
Yeah. Definitely.
You can't complain. I mean, if he was ever to leave Swansea, somebody had to come with at least £10 million, so.
For real.
That's great to even find somebody like that. That's great business.
So who's the one keeper who you would say surprised you this season?
Well, I don't want to just say the keeper, but the defense as a whole. But if you want to know just the keeper, I'll say Krul from Newcastle. But really, just the Newcastle defense as a whole been a big surprise to me. I mean, I didn't expect that.
Krul wasn't even sure to start at the beginning of the season. Eh? That this Harper fellow.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't really rate any other defenders, but I didn't really rate Colaccini, and you know, I know Taylor was always good at free kicks from since he was at Wigan, but I didn't really rate the Newcastle defense to say they're gonna make clean sheets. I mean, Simpson couldn't really get a game at Man U. So it was a bunch of rejects as far as I'm concerned. And they have a lot of clean sheets right now. I don't know the exact number, but they're doing well. Cruel doing well. The defense doing well. I mean, I've been riding with Simpson from beginning.
Yeah.
So the Newcastle defense doing well.
Yeah, and as you're talking defenders, going across the defenders now, some of the top performing defenders. I mean, for me, I would say Vincent Kompany was the big one for me this season. I mean, he producing week after week, he gaining on set plays, he gained a couple assists, 1-2 goals, and he's like a fixture in his size. I think he's one of the men who might just stay.
That's exactly what it is. You hit the nail on the head right there in terms of he's a fixture on his side, because if you notice, left back, right back is always rotation with Clichy, Kolarov, Zabaleta, Richards, and in the middle. First Kolo Touré was out, they had Lescott and out Touré back. So besides Joe Hart in the back, Kompany is like the show man, and you can see
why at $6 million.
Yeah, and the guy very solid. I mean, that's somebody we hear about for years now, you know.
Yeah.
He's actually one who panned out, because they had a lot of Belgian players who haven't panned out, like Van den Boer and these guys, but I mean, I hear about Kompany a long time ago, and
he
just solid. He's not a spectacular defender, but he's solid. He do what he's there for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not gonna say ooh and ah, but you're just gonna be like, wow, this guy doing what he's supposed to do. And that's why I think he's the captain now. I mean, he just does his job.
Yeah. Who else would say the standout performer for the first half of the season?
I would say, because, and I have to say this with apologies, because Phil Jones will be, I would say, the standout for me, because at the start of the season, I was like, why Sir Alex buy this guy? Like,
for real?
You know what I'm saying? I saw him at Blackburn and I knew he was talented. So I'm not saying why did he buy him in terms of he wasn't good. I just didn't think we needed him. You know what I'm saying?
Because we
had Ferdinand, Vidic, Smalling. Well, I can't believe I'm going to say his name, but Evans. I mean, I just hate them. But you know, we had four good centre backs. I was like, why spend a...
Yeah, 3.5 good centre backs.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, why spend money on Phil Jones? I mean, because the person I was looking for Sir Alex to buy this summer, and I still want him to buy, was Lissana Diarra from Real Madrid. I just thought we needed that kind of fighter in the midfield. So I was like, why bring in another defender to sit him on the bench? You know, he's going to take 2 years to grow. And the guy has been magic. I mean, midfield, right back, center back. I mean,
he
doing it. I think he scored a goal. He had some assists, clean sheets. I mean, even England now. I think pretty soon, like after this next cycle, after the Euro 2012, when you know probably they get rid of guys like Terry and them. I think he'll be like a sure England pick.
Yeah,
and that's saying a lot. I think the guys were like 19 or 20.
Yeah,
that's saying a lot for Phil Jones.
He's gonna be the man to take Terry's spot, but you know.
Yeah, I mean,
Sir Alex
has really throw up some surprises sometimes, because he makes some bad purchases, but he also makes some great purchases in terms of guys like Chicharito. And like, as I said, I saw the talent in Phil Jones, but I just didn't see the need. But who am I am not Sir Alex. You know, I
would admit that I was one of the fellas when I see that buy was laughing at my Man U partners, and I'd be like, will you pay 18 million for Phil who? You know? And I was kind of laughing at them, but I had to kind of eat them words.
I have apologies for that.
He come good. So, yeah, I mean, what,
I think he's been a boss.
What defenders you would say surprised you the most this season, though?
In the back?
Yeah.
Wow. Let's have a lot to know about.
I would say Taylor Dredd from Newcastle. I mean, we just talked about him, but, you know, I always know him every season as a man, you know, if he gets what he get out free kicks, he good for a cheap pick, but the man come out solid this year, boy. And he gained regular starts, and he actually keeping clean sheets. I never rate him as a defender, but, you know.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
So let me talk about midfielders now. I mean, top performance for the year. Who stand out for you?
definitely Gareth Bale. I mean, and it's not, I'm not just being prisoner at the moment due to the fact that he scored 2 goals yesterday. But the guy, I mean, I really want to know. I guess we had the Mero last week. I should ask him how long he thinks Spurs could hold on to Bale, because yeah. The guy, he electric.
Yeah.
He had the pace, he had the power, he could shoot, he could cross. I mean, the guy have everything.
But you know, you're saying that and listening to this, and it just have me sore, because I would tell you, I think I buy Gareth. He started out slow this season, huh?
Yeah.
And I think I buy him before everybody. I say this man had a come good. And it had 2 game weeks after I buy him where he do nothing. And Van der Vaart was scoring all the points, and I say, I can't take this chance, boy. Van der Vaart overdoing it. So I went and buy Van der Vaart, and about 3 straight game weeks, Bale score like in double figures. So wow. I sell Van der Vaart and went back by Bale, and then like for the next 3 weeks, the man has scored. So I went back and by Van der Vaart again. I sell Bale thing again, and the man started to score again. So it's like every time I buy Bale, salt.
Well, I will tell you something. I haven't owned Bale for this season. Huh? So, even though I say he's the standout performer, I mean, that just says something about me and why I'm in 41st place. Because I definitely think he's been a standout. And I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. He's doing real good. He just electric. I mean, right
and
back scared of the man. Right back scared it.
And he's doing that without free kick and corner.
Yeah, and from the moment when I saw that he... When he make who is probably my favorite right back in the world, Mike Conn, look like a primary school defender last year.
Yeah,
I mean, that was just the signal to me, like this guy crazy, because I never see anybody do Mike Conn what they want.
I never see that.
You know, he basically do Mike Conn what he wanted on the wing. He really good, and he definitely had to be in my team soon, because I guess as we're gonna speak later about the double game we coming up and stuff. I mean.
Yeah.
Bale definitely, he have to find a way to be in my team pretty soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other top performer, obviously, you know, Silva, which is also a kind of, I mean, I expected him to do well, but I think he's been the EPL player this season so far, you know. He really looking like one of the, he really step up his game to be, I would say, in the top 10 players in the world right now, if not top 5. You know, and he on everything, you know, goes every week consistent, giving points every week. So he's the next top performer, I would say.
I agree with that once again. I mean, the only thing I will probably disagree that I said is probably the player this season. He'll be probably one second choice after Van Persie. But yes, he magical. I mean, that's another guy. Man City, no matter how much they rotate, he always there.
Yeah. Yeah.
He always there. Cause Nasri does rotate a lot. The central midfield guys rotate, the strikers rotate. So basically, Silva and company, and probably Yaya Toure are the guys who are always there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But Silva, I agree with everything else. I definitely think he up there now as top 10 in the world. He up there as one of the best in the EPL.
Yeah.
He does it. I mean, he does find him. What next thing I like about him too? Not only is he like creative and, you know, he thinks like ahead of the game of everybody else, he's also do something of a player that is not expected of a player of his class, which is just, sometimes he just pop up in the middle between 2 central defenders and score them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A player like that, like Rochan, I wouldn't say hide, but he'll more go out on the wing, or he'll drop a little deep in the midfield.
Yeah.
Play behind the striker. But sometimes he's the guy furthest forward in the middle of 2 big strong central defenders getting a little something off his toe, off his knee, you know?
And once he gets inside there, you can't get that ball off him too. Eh?
Yeah.
And he's playing strong. He's playing strong, you know, you're trying to muscle him off, he's shielding the ball. He have it.
Yeah, that's something that impressed me a lot about him. And it's funny that I say top 10 best in the world, because is he at a starter for Spain?
That is a good question, because...
But that's to tell you how much talent Spain have. I know again, a little off course, but
that's
how much talent Spain have, that the guy is one of the 10 best in the world and is not a sure starter for his national team. I mean, that's crazy.
So, let me just move quickly on to forwards. Top performers.
I'd have to say Sturridge, just for the fact that, I mean, I know that probably strikers have more points than him and score more goals than him, but for the fact that, I mean, I think some the starter commentator made the other day was he have more goals than Drogba, Anelka, and Torres combined alone. I had to say he's a top performer just for that. I mean, it wasn't expected. The guy couldn't get a game the other day. He had to go on loan at Bolton.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to be in a team with so many players.
And like, the other thing is, he's not even playing out-and-out striker. He playing,
thank you very much. Thank you.
Playing, more like right side, forward, right wing kind of thing, you know? But yeah, yeah, so he been Chelsea player this season so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, so, you know, like, as I say, it have so many other people doing good. Rooney and Aguero, Van Persie, you know.
And Ba. Them Ba,
yeah,
Ba.
But Sturridge for me is just a standout in terms of the team that he in, and, you know, he and doing so good, man.
My standout is Ba. And we talked about him in a previous podcast, so I wouldn't really get into too much detail. But I think he definitely been, you know, especially playing a Newcastle team where he don't have the service that a Van Persie or a Sturridge have in a bigger team or a Rooney have.
Yeah.
And the thing that impressed me about Ba is that if you look at his game, anytime he get a clean look, you never see him, like, you know, kicking over ball, kicking wide and holding his head. The man real accurate. The man always playing on target. Even if the keeper had a save or what, he real little.
Agreed.
You know? 14 goals for the season, but he going to the African nation, so we'll see what happens after that. So,
and you still might have to do some other. I just want to add in at the end of that, in terms of a surprise performer, I'd have to say Yakubu, because, I mean, both Blackburn on the bottom of the table. And I really thought Yakubu career was over. I actually thought he was playing in the championship or something. So,
yeah.
But the fact that Yakubu just come out of nowhere and scoring all these goals, I mean, another guy, he haven't been in my team, but the other guy, Yakubu, some men just know where the goal is, you know, like them kind of Inzaghi players. And
exactly, yeah.
Guys like that who just know where the goal is at. Like, I think somebody like Yakubu, at age 50, he could pop up and score one for you at least. No, seriously, he'll just know where to be in the box, where the cross goes, and he'll score one. I think the same about people like Inzaghi and them.
Yeah,
I don't
see
those guys as the best in the world, but that's their talent, to just know where to be. Somebody like Chicharito, I think that 45 Chicharito could come and score one for you.
Yeah. You know? All right, so let me push on and let me look at... I think that for the mid-season review, we'll wrap it up there. But looking ahead to the upcoming game week, we're going to actually preview two game weeks in this podcast. You're going to look at your coming one, and then we're going to look at game week 20, which also has the double.
Yeah.
So starting with this first one, a captain pick for this. Now, I should mention that these are real tight game weeks. I think the game is going to be playing like from the 31st this weekend, Wales Day. And then teams going to come around like from all the second and have, you know, back-to-back games, plus FA Cup the following week. So, you know.
It's a really busy period, but I'm happy for it, you know. On the days you're home, like Boxing Day, you got to take in some nice games. So, I'm happy for it.
True. So, who you like for captain this weekend?
Well, in the interest of time, I'll just say Rooney at home to Blackburn and leave it at that. He didn't play any last game. All
right, I would say, and the first... I would say Phil Jones, the first time I would be willing to cap a defender for the entire season, just on the fact that he coming up against his old team, Blackburn, first going back to them, and I think coming back he had a little injury, but he'd be coming back fresh and probably playing midfield, could come and get something up front.
That's a real ballsy pick, just for the fact that I said he missed the last couple of games.
You sweat. Trust me, you sweat.
It takes a lot of balls to make that pick, so props to you.
If he do sweat, I'll come back on the next podcast and say I was wrong.
No, if that work out, I give you all the props that Eddie said, because that's a very bold pick.
Alright, what about your cheap pick for the week?
I'll say Etherington from Stoke. He is home to Wigan. Wigan cannot keep clean sheets. Etherington, you know, he's a good player. He in form. As the only thing I just want to throw back in again, throughout last week, and just to remind people, just with this busy period, sometimes players get rotated. So that's like the one thing I might have to watch out for, players getting rotated. You know, because I think you're going to play like 2 games in 4 days or 5 days or something like that.
Right.
So who knows, but Etherington.
My cheap pick is, I would say, Andrew Sermon from Norwich. this guy, they're home to Fulham, and Sermon kind of come up recently in midfield, but he taking free kicks, he gained some goals in, and Norwich been scoring goals, so I think
wow,
he could come up with something.
You're coming real bold tonight, Anna.
I close out the year big.
I don't know what you do over the Christmas time, but you just get bold and brave.
Is he punch up Kremos?
Alright, we definitely had to go over these picks next show. Go ahead.
Over the clean sheet.
Man United home to Blackburn, full stop.
Alright, there we go with Stoke home to Wigan. And which good fixture jumping off here with goals this week?
I definitely wouldn't be picking any defenders from either of these teams, so I'll say Bolton versus Wolves. I see at least a 2-2 in that game.
For real. I'm just going to say, since I've been going so bold all the time, I'm going to play it safe and say, man, you home to Blackburn. I don't think Blackburn have... They are probably one fit defender, and they leaking goals like, whoa. So, you know, expecting Man U to take advantage of that. So... Now previewing the double game week, which is game week 20, and the highlight of this game week is Tottenham and Everton having two games each. Tottenham first home to West Brom, and then they're playing, is it home to Everton?
Yeah, home to Everton.
And then Everton has Bolton, and then they have Tottenham.
Yeah.
So... I guess our picks would be kind of... Well, just to talk about that double game week, would you say a good strategy is to... How deep you... I'm going to put it a different way. How deep you think you would invest in that double?
Well, I'll just speak for myself. I'll say right now I have two Everton players in Baines and Drenta. And for Tottenham, I have Adebayo. So I think I'll only probably try to bring in Bale. And have like two each per team. I don't think I will enter go as three deep per team, but I will. Bale, I definitely had to get Bale, and that's about it. So I'll go with like two per team, you know? I mean, this is how we kick at gamble, and also a defender from one of these teams. Like, you know, Tottenham wouldn't always keep clean sheets, but there's a week, I mean, could gamble on somebody like Walker or Asu Ekoto.
Yeah.
But they could also get some access, so I mean, could buy some.
I think I actually have Adebayo and Drenta, but I'm looking to bring in Bale and Gallas. The thing about it is I'm kind of concerned because I have three Man U, two, and then I have three Tottenham, so my team would be real dependent on two teams.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that we gained that wild card in January, so you could always come back around and fix that.
Yeah, that's something we definitely have to talk about on the next show.
Yeah. So can I add to the picks? Well, I guess the double game week would kind of influence your thinking, but who you like for cap?
Definitely would. I mean, I'll go with Adebayo. I mean, he in form, you know, he in form right now. Adebayo, two games, as I said, home to West Brom, home to Everton, two leaky defenses. So, Adebayo.
All right, well, I would say Bale. I mean, we say everything about him, and I guess the only red flag above that is if he don't rest one of them games, then it mightn't make sense, but you know. You could count on Bale to do something there.
Yeah.
And a cheap pick for week 20.
Well, I already call his name just now too, but I'll say Drenta just for the fucking two good games. Home to Bolton, away to Tottenham. I mean, Drenta in the highlights that I see so far, he always getting shots on goal, you know. He always had the heartbeat of whatever Everton trying to do, so I think Drenta will be good.
I hope so too. I actually have him. I actually bought him after like he came on as a sub for like 20 minutes against Norwich and just light it up. So
yeah.
The week after he actually got assist and I see. I didn't see the game, but apparently he was the best thing on the pitch. But he didn't get no bonus, you know, which is the next thing we had to talk about at some point in the future. But,
yeah.
But my trip pick I think for that week would be. This guy, Maki from QPR, home to Norwich. He been a midfielder playing off the striker and been getting some goals in, and we don't talk about Norwich defense. So
the picks you making tonight, they're really surprising. I don't know what I wanna know where you drink before the show. Where you eat.
When you see them come good, then you know, man.
Wow, you're going out of the box tonight. You're going out of the box. You're going out of the box.
So what about clean sheets?
Clean sheets are at Aston Villa at home to Swansea.
All right,
Swansea don't really do anything on the road. Sorry, go ahead.
Swansea, all right. That, I would have said either like Tottenham, but I think, you know, that kind of obvious for the double game week. So I would go with Sunderland. They're actually away to Wigan, but they're looking much better and much tighter under O'Neill. Definitely having an impact on that side. And Wigan is a team that just, you know, they have problems getting goals in. So I think they could take one away from home.
Okay.
And lastly, what fixtures you would play for goals that week?
Well, it's actually interesting, because while we talk about the double game week, the fixture that I'm looking at is one of the teams with a double game week is Tottenham versus West Brom, because West Brom score goals. They have people like Long and Odemwingie who start scoring some goals lately. Mm-hmm. They don't keep clean sheets, so you know they're going to score. You know Spurs going to score, so that's another game you could easily see 4 to 5 goals.
For real. Well, I would say that same QPR-Norwich game. I mean, QPR is a team that capable of getting goals and leaking goals, and similarly with Norwich. I actually have Norwich keeper on my team, and I don't think they keep a clean sheet all season. But yeah, at the same time, they have a way of just scoring goals. This guy Morrison up front and Holt and them fellas always kind of in on it.
And something interesting I'm looking forward to, besides that game itself, is I want to see what QPR are going to do in the January window. You know? Because it's almost January and they have money to spend, and I want to see what reinforcements they bring in after they already did in the summer with Wright Phillips and Barton and these guys. So January, I'll be looking forward. I guess we'll get to that on another show, but...
Yeah, I guess in the next show we talk about, because we could plan now, but when transfer window come in and men come in, you might find all of a sudden that some men in your side had a sit down on the bench and thing, and it's be a hectic period, so...
Yeah.
So I guess in the new year, you know, we'll cover all that. So just in wrapping up, I mean, I just want to say half the season gone. This is the 11th podcast we're doing. We had some guests on the show, and I think we've been pretty good. Always interested in having other guests from the forum and stuff come on and give our contribution and all their thoughts, you know. I know about you, Two Cents, if you have anything to close out the 2011.
I mean, just want to say Happy New Year to everybody. Like you said, all the people who came on, and we're looking to get some other people on in next year, 2012. We hope to get better, you know. So once again, thanks to our guests like JDB, Andre Samuel, DeMero,
Best Brand,
you know.
And of course, we had to mention the man, the veteran, the man in retirement.
I'm hoping Firebrand probably, you know, gave his wife some nice diamond earrings for Christmas or something. And
You know what I think, boy, Two Cents? I think, and I'm serious about this, sir. We need to start an online petition to get Firebrand to bring out a team next year. I feel we could go for like 1,000 signatures.
I don't know the man wife, but I one thing I always like is my brethren still have a happy home. So if no fantasy enabling the man to have a happy home, so be it. You know what I'm saying? What we gonna do is, I think he won a PlayStation for his son this year.
Uh-huh.
Well, last season.
Right.
So I think next season what we gotta do is to start back a league with our prize again, and I think
we gotta use that as an excuse.
Yeah, you know. Tell him he going and win something for his son, you know.
For real.
All the best to Firebrand. Shout out to Firebrand.
Shout out. So yeah, I mean, Two Cents to you, all the best for the new year. You know, have a safe one. And We will come back and do it again in January.
All right, same to you, Bridget, and good night to everybody out there.
All right, good night.